baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. And I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the Devious and Dastardly Goes on a Monday, October 7th. How you doing?
There's a lot going on.
Still
I'm excited.
Line from the schmo. Oh, yeah, like what? Where do you want to start?
Well, you got to start with the card, but PFL is in town.
PFL's
right here.
In town. Lots of news. Kane goes to the WWE. We have a new champion in the UFC in Israel Adesanya. 57,000 and change were at the Marvel Stadium Goes in Melbourne, Australia, over a $5.4 million gate. And, of course, lots of news nuggets to tackle. It's going to be a fun ride, so buckle up, folks. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show again on a Monday. Here we go.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. As previously mentioned, 57,127 were in attendance at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne, Australia on Saturday, our Saturday, their Sunday. 5,470,000 was the total gate. Why do I start with that? Because the UFC just broke its own record for attendance record, basically. Not the gate. That one I know for sure they didn't break. But they broke the attendance record. It was previously 56,000 and change goes when Ronda Rousey was upset by Holly Holm in that same stadium. So Melbourne, Australia is 1-2 in terms of attendance records. Just to finish out the others, I believe it goes Toronto, like in 2011. Mm-hmm. And then they were in Curitiba, Brazil. So that one was like 55,000. Curitiba, Brazil was like 45,000. And then there was one in Stockholm, Sweden that was about 30,000. So there's your top five.
Shields and GSP. And then I think the other one was Cyborg, right?
In Curitiba? No, the other one was when Stipe knocked out Verdum.
Oh, okay. That was in Curitiba?
Curitiba, Brazil is in a stadium, man. And then the other one, that was 2016, I believe. And then AJ Anthony Johnson and Alexander Gustafsson were the headliners for the Stockholm show. Yep, so there you go. So congrats to the UFC. Now, I'm very careful to say they broke the UFC attendance record. You know that same night KSW posted something and still hashtag because they actually had more people in attendance at their show. It's a show in Poland that's like the UFC of Poland. And we've had their promoter here in studio, and he's very proud of the fact that the UFC may have penetrated the rest of the world, but not Poland. They're still it.
Yeah, over there, like the same way people call MMA UFC here, they call it KSW over there.
Exactly. I train KSW is what they say. And the big records, of course, are in Japan back in the Pride and K1 days. Whether it was the New Year's Eve blowouts or one of those Grand Prix, I remember seeing attendance figures of 70, 80, or 90, depending on what you believe. For sure, the 57 and change has been passed up. But one day, I think when this new Vegas stadium gets broken in, I think you can have an official. Who knows? How are you going to argue with what's in the past and what may or may not be accurate? Who knows what kind of figures Pride was taking? But still, I think they'll reach the 70s over here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think they will. And, it's going to be a huge card when they do it.
Yeah. I think the only one where they can really do something like that is that Cowboy Stadium, because they seat over 100. And mm-hmm. I've seen them do it in boxing with, I think it was Claudy versus Pacquiao. Was that the big one? Yeah.
Joshua Claudy.
Yeah. All right. We're getting away here from, we got to talk about Israel Adesanya. Because does the UFC have a new star, or do they have themselves a new superstar? He defeated Robert Whittaker. So the interim champion defeated the undisputed champion. They unified, and Adesanya goes home with both belts, obviously. He is now the undisputed champion.
I think it's a new star. I don't know about superstar just yet, because I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know if it was the buzz of college football, pro football, everything going on in the world. I didn't see as much on social media of just my casual friends talking about the event. Almost every event, I'll get a group of casual friends that just kind of bring it up, at least the main event. And this time it kind of just went under the radar. And I don't know if it was because of the card, or if we go back to the whole streaming issues that they just don't know how to watch the card, but it didn't have that oomph that I usually see with them.
Do they have a star who's a budding superstar?
Yeah, I think he's a budding superstar.
Okay. Well, let's go over the facts here. He is undefeated. Let's start off with that. Undefeated, a shiny 17-0 record, I believe, is where he stands at. 18-0 now, excuse me. The finish was amazing. So that's going to be one of those highlight reels that's just going to be everywhere, all over this week especially. Beat an incumbent champion. Now, that's something Whittaker never got, because he never got to beat the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because GSP relinquished and he was the interim champ. So they just kind of went, well, now it's you. So he had his moment. Stadium show, record-breaking crowd, undefeated, fairly-looking guy, very, very charismatic, amazing walkout, and Africa. He's got I can't say the whole continent behind him, because I think Africa's – I don't know that all of them are hip to MMA, but Nigeria is definitely on the map with him and Kamaru Usman. Let's not forget Francis Ngannou is originally from Cameroon, not from Nigeria, but all three were from the continent of Africa. And of course, Ngannou's not a champ like the other two, but still, I think he's on the verge, and one day will be. But still, man, this guy, wow, he was in our studio here at the Mandalay Bay. We're in October of 2019. He was here in December of 2017. He wasn't even in the UFC then. His first fight was February of 2018. He had four fights in 2018 and two fights in 2019. Yeah, it was six fights, like in 8 months, if I'm not mistaken. And now he's a world champion in less than 2 years. This is amazing. What a trajectory. And I think we had a feeling that, remember when he walked out of the studio, we thought, wow, that dude's cool. Like, that dude's really, like, laid back. He's got some swag. He's not full of himself. If he just keeps doing what he's doing, he could be something. I think that's the most we said, right?
I think his rise is very Conor-esque, right? Like, he came in here, and I think when he left, we all just went, dude, that guy, he's got potential. And he did the same thing that Conor did, in the sense that he was calling his shots and just saying, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to come here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I don't know that we laughed him off, because we kind of laughed Conor off with Israel Adesanya. I think we kind of started, he made us believe the hype a little bit. And little by little, every fight, he's gotten better. And again, with this fight, I think you can look at him and say, he's improved even more.
We didn't laugh him off. Where's the limit? But remember, at the time, we knew that this guy's got to go through Jacare. This guy's got to go through Romero, you know, and of course, Whittaker.
We didn't know anything about his ground game.
Everybody else that might be might come along for the ride. He didn't have to fight those other two. And of course, I am in no way saying anything like, you know, you're not it until you beat them. I'm not saying that at all. It would be nice for him to eventually fight one of the two, because they're both aging and they're not really in the way right now. Right now, the prime guy is Paulo Costa. But I just remember, if I'm being fair, going back to, you know, almost 2 years ago, it was just a different landscape. The landscape changes. But I just remember thinking, if he continues to win, he could be a big, big star for the UFC. Mm-hmm. That I do remember. But I'll be damned. I think this guy's going to be a superstar in the UFC, because he made it look easy, Goz.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about the fight. I think I'm going to be a minority in this. I thought it was an entertaining fight, but I didn't think it was a great fight.
Ooh, really?
Yeah,
because you were on the edge of your seat during the Sportscaster broadcast.
Well, that's the thing, though. That
they were just missing each other's chins.
That's the thing. Is they weren't really connecting very much, you know, until the end of round one, where that fight could have finished there.
Mm-hmm.
But they were throwing a lot of bombs, but they weren't really landing. I think it was just our anticipation that we knew at any moment this thing's going to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point, there wasn't that much. It wasn't like a back and forth brawl type, you know, something.
I didn't think I was going to see that type of activity out of Whitaker. So I thought we were in for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought in the third round, fourth round is when we would start seeing like maybe somebody staggering or on wobbly legs. I didn't think the fight was going to go to the ground, by the way. I knew Whitaker had that in his back pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of wrestling. But this guy came out, and by the way, he did not look like someone who had just been on an 18-month break. I mean, he looked pretty sharp to me. Now, granted, he was just missing certain shots, but that's what Izzy makes you do. He makes you barely miss, and then, boom, he's right there to capitalize. However, you know, Whitaker, like I said, looked pretty damn good. And the fact he already proclaimed that he's healthy and knows that he's got to take a fight or two to get back there, I'm excited about seeing them fight and do it again. Now, look, Whitaker, before that knockdown that you mentioned, he was going to get the 10-9.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why I can't say – I said he made it look easy, but he wasn't dominant. In round two, I thought Whitaker was kind of doing a little bit of the same recipe, you know, just a lot of pressure and taking it to Izzy. He hadn't really taken many of them kicks that I was expecting from Adesanya. And then that's when Adesanya landed, you know, the lethal blow and became a champ. So, I guess I will respectfully disagree. I thought it was a great fight. I was on the edge of my seat. I had money on Adesanya. So, I loved every second of it. Whitaker made me sweat. Yeah,
a lot of people did.
Yeah. So, there you go. And, of course, the UFC planted Paulo Costa. That's the way it should be done, folks. We don't want – okay, Israel Adesanya, I think, may have been throwing some flipping birds, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But that was definitely an – all around technical issue that the UFC had at the end when they're trying to build up this fight and the screen started to go blue and it started to cut in and out.
Yeah, that part sucked. Because
everybody had that. You know, when things like that happen, the first thing you point to is your internet. Oh my God, my internet's buffering or something. It seemed like everybody had that problem, which really sucked.
I thought flipping of the birds, by the way, disqualifies you from bonuses. I'm not trying to take money out of his pocket, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, that's what's happened in the
future
past.
Future cards or?
I don't know.
Or is it because now they're on a streaming service, no big deal, versus maybe the other ones were on Big Fox or?
Well, I don't remember exactly which one it was, uh-huh. But I thought it was a flipping of the bird. It was Kevin Lee, wasn't it? And I thought it was during a weigh-in. And those are like on Fox Sports 1 back in the day, right? So maybe it had to do with that.
And you don't have the excuse. Oh, well, I just got hit in the head. I wasn't thinking. You can kind of do that when you're just finished battling another dude. I think you can kind of almost get away with anything. Mm-hmm. But still, anyway, getting back to what I was saying, you know, he jumps on the fence, and all the fighters do that. They're not supposed to, but I don't think we're going to stop him. You know, you never want him jumping over. And he did exit for a while, but it was to have a big huddle with his team. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. But I love it when the UFC has the other guy right then and there. Me, I would even take it a step further and possibly bringing them in. But I know that a lot of people will resist and go, no, man, that's that guy's moment. Let him have his moment. And I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, that's just, I believe, what helps sell another fight. And then Mike Bond comes out with the great stats and says, hey, if these two do mix it up, it's not very common when two undefeated fighters will fight like that. And I think he went back to Lyoto Machida goes versus Rashad Evans.
Oh, wow.
Was the last time it happened.
Wow. I would have never thought that one.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that'll be really, really special. The UFC can hype up both undefeated guys. Costa coming off the big win over Romero.
Somebody's O must go. We rarely do that.
Exactly. You know, again, Paulo Costa's got a good look to him from a fighting country of Brazil. And these guys speak a little bit more English now. These guys are chirping at each other as well. Taking it a little bit too far. I don't need to hear that someone's going to die. Rearranging of faces or someone's going to get hit so hard their mama's going to feel it. Whatever. I'm okay with that, but someone's going to die never goes well. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need to take their foot off that gas. But, man, I cannot wait. And goes, if they play their cards right, when somebody hears this, they're going to go, George, are you crazy? We want to see this sooner than that. This could be a stadium-type show fight. Except where? This stadium here in Vegas isn't going to be done till next summer. I don't know if it's in time for International Fight Week, but if it is, you know they'll throw like 2-3 title fights there, and I'd love to see that one. Now, that said, I don't want to wait from October all the way to next July.
Yeah.
This thing may not need to happen sooner. Paulo Costa getting a little greedy, saying this thing needs to happen in Brazil. No, it don't.
yeah, I think you're the challenger. You can't.
I think Izzy's a Vegas or New York guy, or if they ever go to Africa, then Africa. Or I guess if they ever go to New Zealand. But I think it's his shot to call right now.
How big can that fight be? Will that fight be the main event? Will it stand alone, or is it one of those where you have to lump it in with another title fight?
Well, as we just saw, Izzy and Adesanya sold out 57,000. So one could say it can stand alone. But I was very critical of the card on our Sportscaster broadcast because I was saying, as pumped as I am for the main event, I'm just going to go through the motions during the main card because the main card was, you know, the co-main was cool, but it didn't turn out to be a great fight. You know, it was a great result for Dan Hooker, but I wasn't on the edge of my seat for that one.
Mm-hmm.
The matchup on paper, I was okay with. But the other three, I was just basically at their mercy. Hope there's some great action here. Someone gets knocked out or submitted. But I was basically at their mercy because their star power hadn't excited me. Sorry, no offense to Jorgen De Castro, beautiful KO, and the others, you know what I mean? Diego Lima, and they're just not, those aren't pay-per-view names for me. That's my palate's a little different, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But they can be top billing over there. But over here in the States, what do you think needs to happen for that card?
It needs to have one more title fight. I think you just want it to sizzle. You want something to lead into that one that also has you know,
so like a Henry Cejudo or something to pair up.
I'll
with
even
him,
take a BMF, a BMF fight. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. Like just something that's like a nice 1-2 punch. Because remember, goes, look, I'm not in the business of jinxing. I don't really believe in it. But what if something happened to that fight on fight week? What if something happened to UFC 243, the stadium show?
Oh,
to that fight. Which, by the way, Whitaker's been injury prone. Your main event would have been Dan Hooker versus Ally Quinta. And by the way, that one would have fallen in the category of, do you know when the UFC said, hey, it's no longer a pay-per-view. It's for free. It's on us. Because they realized they done fucked up. You know what I mean? That one would have fit. You see what I'm saying? But that should be reason alone to never do that one.
If you told me Ally Quinta versus Dan Hooker, I'd say, hey, good matchup. What else we got?
Exactly.
There's no way I would think that was
that can't be the main event of a stadium show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would have been a disaster.
And it can't be the main event of a Vegas and New York show. It's got to be a 1-2 punch with a great feature bout. That's the third one from the top, folks. You know, something like an Ngannou and Lewis. You know, so, I mean, that one didn't work out well. But something where you look at it and go, oh, my God. You know, sorry, I'm at the hold this piss. Or sorry, I'm not going to get a beer. I'm not moving from my seat because I can't miss a second of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Anyway, congrats again to Israel Adesanya. Congrats to Melbourne, Australia. You guys come strong, man. That is two big shows, two big stadium shows. By all accounts, it looked like you guys had a great time. Here's a few other winners from the fight card. Dan Hooker did defeat Ally Quinta via unanimous decision. I would say Hooker was just kind of in control, and all Al had was basically if he could land the big shot, which I love the fact that in the third round he showed some of the urgency that he knew he was losing the fight, so he had to basically, you know, go for broke. I thought he could have went for more broke, you know, over those 5 minutes. But then again, I'm not the one that's in there against the guy that's got a reach advantage who's just been...
That's what was killing him.
Teeing him up all night, you know what I mean? Al's face was pretty beat up.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some appreciation for the fact that he was looking for something, you know what I mean?
He was trying.
Exactly.
He was trying. He just couldn't get... It all really came down to that distance and ring generalship. You know, Hooker was moving around. He was making it tough on Ally Quinta. It was a great game plan. That Longo camp, I think they have awesome game plans. So I just think he just wasn't able to execute it properly.
Yeah. Had Al won one of the first two rounds, then maybe that third round could have got really, really interesting. Because at the same time, I think Dan knew, hey, I got this as long as I don't mess up. So he wasn't really in any hurry to engage. You know, he could tell that Al was coming to him. All right. Sergey Spivak defeated Tai Tuivasa, technical submission. It was exciting because, again, look, stadium show, pay-per-view. I had money on Spivak. Nothing against Tai Tuivasa. I just needed an underdog to start off a potential big payday because I was chasing. But still, you know, the local guy, Tai Tuivasa, lost, man, to Sergey Spivak. Diego Lima defeated Luke Jumau. Split decision. Totally disagree with the split decision. I thought he convincingly beat him.
That was
and
insane.
Jorgen De Castro had a huge knockout over Justin Toffa. Jake Matthews, Kalen Potter, Brad Riddle, who, by the way, also is from that city box kickboxing gym.
3-0, right?
In New England. And, man, that dude's got some power. Yeah, he's got some promise, too. Megan Anderson, Ji Young Kim, and Khalid Taha were other winners. 50,000 went to Riddell and Malarkey. That's the kid that I just mentioned that I think has got potential. Him and Malarkey really threw down, man.
It they was beat really the crap early out of each other
in the night. So even though the Aussie lost to the Kiwi, I think and I think there was a little bad blood in that one. I think Malarkey can at least take a little solace in the fact that he got an extra 50 G's, baby. And then two performances of the night. One went to Adesanya. I tipped my hand earlier. And then Jorgen De Castro. Again, vicious, vicious KO. So there you have it. That's UFC 243. The results, the names, the winners. What do you want to see next for Adesanya? Is it a slam dunk? Costa, right? What?
I mean, it is. But the name John Jones keeps getting thrown out.
Oh.
And I really don't want to see that fight. I mean, I think stylistically
it could
be fun. But he's not ready for John
ready.
Jones.
Yeah.
It's nothing against him. It's just that's a monster. That's one of the
he's
greatest
not ready,
of all time.
And I think the UFC's not ready to promote it just yet. And I think...
You got a great
they
number
got
one
something.
Contender.
They got something there with Costa, right?
Yeah, work that out first.
Yeah, let's get through maybe 2020, and maybe that could lead off 2021, or who knows? I mean, the way Israel Adesanya fights so frequently, mm-hmm. if he were to mop up two dudes, then maybe. You know?
John does need dance partners. Mm-hmm. And so I like that they're building it up a little bit through social media, taking jabs at each other, but it's just not the time yet.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Dan Hooker, what'd you think of that call out of Dustin Poirier? Jeez, venomous, isn't he?
I thought that was pretty weird because
I love call outs, but
doesn't he seem like the guy that would say, "Hey, respectfully, this guy's a great fighter. I'd like to fight him." But yeah, his had a little bit of venom in it, and I thought that was weird. I thought maybe there'd be a backstory to it, but it doesn't seem like there is one.
No, that's just the way he rolls. So anyway, there you have it. Again, UFC 243 in the books. Look, let's cover a quick other event, and then we'll get to some of these new news nuggets that we have. Two other events that took place. Bellator 229, Korshkov versus Larkin. Huge, huge win for Lorenz Larkin. Remember we said last Thursday, or I may have said it, he has got to get it done, Goes, because mm-hmm. Enough. He's no longer the young guy, you know what I mean, who has yet to peak or whatever. He needed to get something done because – in Bellator, you don't often get these names that can help put your own name, your own brand over. And Korshkov respected him. He's been a big name for Bellator. So beating Andrei Korshkov was big for Lorenz Larkin. Congratulations. You got a split decision win over him in Pechanga Resort Casino in Temecula, California. Goichi Yamaguchi defeated Syed Awad. Carrie Melendez stays undefeated. She beat Mandy Polk. Tony Johnson laid out Joe Schilling.
Lorenz has got he's on a nice little streak now, but he's got to keep it going. You're right. He needs consistency. It's not like it was a close fight, you know? So I think he's just got to keep it going. And he can become a Bellator star.
Larkin has beaten Jorge Masvidal, Neil Magny, and Santiago Ponzinibbio. All three, well, maybe not Magny still. But I know the other two for sure are ranked fighters and doing well in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So now you throw in Korshkov, and those are four fighters that he's beaten. For sure he beat Magny when he was ranked. I mean, Lorenz Larkin's no joke is what I'm trying to say. And did you know? Well, of course you do, but did. But some of the younger listeners may not, or the newer fans of the show that may not be young. He's also beaten Robbie Lawler at middleweight years ago outside the UFC. But he really... I just think he could be so much more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He does a good job of mixing that speed and power, but sometimes it just seems like he'll leave it in the hands of the judges. I think that hurts him a little bit.
He lost a couple key fights along the way, which prevented him from getting on, you know, either a Grand Prix or a title shot, or I don't know. But good win for him. And again, we usually don't bring up Bellator too much in regard. I mean, look, what I want to talk about is ranked fighters. I don't care what league you're in, Ryzen, One. If you're ranked and you're popping, or you were at one point, for sure, you know what I mean? But I thought that was a quality main event for Bellator. But there's oftentimes, like last week, I think there was Benson Henderson versus Miles Jury. Look, I said the word Benson Henderson beat Miles Jury, but that was it. I wanted to go on to the next thing. With Larkin, I thought he deserved a minute or two.
Yeah, I think when they go to Pechanga, it's one of those cards where they can throw those type of guys, the Georgie Karakanyans, the Syed Awads, those type of guys, and they're going to get decent crowds because Pechanga's relatively not that big. You know, they sell it out. It's always fun. So every time they go there, you know that group is going to be involved somehow.
Yeah. All right. They also had another card on Friday. It was called Invicta FC 37. Pearl Gonzalez defeated Brogan Walker Sanchez in the main event. She goes to 10-4, and more importantly, she's 4-1 in her last five. I wonder if she'll maybe get a return, you know, shot at the UFC again.
I don't know.
She's now a flyweight, no longer a strawweight. I don't know if she could still do strawweight, but
I think it'll take a little bit more because she hasn't really had that like dominating performance. She's getting the wins, but I think she needs a couple signature wins to get back.
How about the fact that Halle Berry went in?
That was cool.
She was in Kansas City to take in the fights. The fights took place in Kansas City, Kansas, and she was there front row. So she's not just a UFC ovary hugger. I mean, she seems to just be a MMA fan, man. I was really happy when I saw them post that picture.
I think we've seen her at a few cards here and there and then pop up with Brian Ortega. But, I thought it had to just do more with movies and all that. So to see her actually showing up, I mean, dare I say, is she getting close to being a hardcore if you're going to an Invicta fight?
Cyborg's homie, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right. Well, those are some of the results from this past weekend. Now it's time to tackle some news nuggets. All right, let's get this one out of the way. And I don't mean it like that. I just mean that this is an MMA show, basically, but from time to time we talk a little bit of boxing, submission grappling, kickboxing, and pro wrestling. So Cain Velasquez has taken his talents to the WWE, and right away he had a confrontation with Brock Lesnar on the debut of SmackDown on Big Fox this past Friday night. As you know, SmackDown and Fox are now in a relationship, and that is huge for the WWE brand. And more than anything, I think that may signal the end of Cain Velasquez's MMA career. I said may. I wasn't too definitive because from what we've heard, he's asked to remove himself, for them to remove him from the USADA pool. If you're not in the USADA pool, remember, I think coming back isn't as easy as people think. You have to be in the USADA pool for at least 6 months if you've been, I think, a prior UFC fighter. And I think there's some expedited version if you haven't been, but still my point is you just can't be one of those guys that steps in, you know, they tap you on the shoulder and go, hey, can you fight in a week or two? Can't do that. You would have to announce yourself back in the USADA pool, and then now you're eligible. So he asked to take himself out of that. I believe that if Kane said, "Ooh man, pro wrestling sucks, I want back in MMA," he's still under contract to the UFC, so he's kind of like frozen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he could just go to Bellator.
By taking himself out of the that pool, he wouldn't just, like, again, be able to, you know, eligible to fight. But for anyone that thinks, oh man, that's just the wiggle way out, and now he'll be, you know, PFL or Bellator or whatever. No, the UFC, I think, still retains those rights. But I think this ended amicably, and what I hear, he's pretty happy in the pro wrestling world.
If you look at his career overall, I don't know that he's ever really been happy being a mixed martial artist. I mean, he won the title, but he's not a guy that really goes out and does interviews. He's not a guy that goes out and tries to promote himself. When he wins, he'll say kind of basic things. When he loses, same thing.
Kind of goes through the motions, right?
Yeah, a little bit, especially the last couple years and a lot of injuries. So this makes complete sense. The thing that I want to know is on the back end, how was all this pitched between the two organizations? Because they fought before in mixed martial arts. and an angle they're using. It's probably going to be fighting in pro wrestling.
And they Michael Cole, the lead announcer for WWE, mentioned that mm-hmm. they had a pass and that Kane kicked Brock's ass.
So what I'm wondering is, I wonder if the UFC said, look, go do this, but we've always wanted Brock to come back to the UFC in a couple years. You guys fight again, but in the UFC. I wonder if that's kind of like the way they pitched.
Homeboy's up there, Brock, like in the 40s, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, they'd both be guys that haven't fought in a long time.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that happened. I just think that Kane has had a lot of injuries, and MMA, it's not necessarily the fights. I think it's the training camps.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always been a love of him. Like, he's always been a fan. You see him in DC at events, and they have big old smile on their faces like kids, you know, in the candy store. I just think he thought, man, you know, he had that knee injury versus Francis Ngannou. Knee or ankle? I think it was a knee, right? He's wearing a knee brace when he went out there to challenge Brock. And I just think I don't know, man. He's had some serious injuries. He hasn't had that many fights in his MMA career, if you look at it. He's been a champion 2 times. But for as long as he's been in the sport, you would have thought he would have had more fights. I don't think he's even reached 20. Might be wrong, but I can look it up. Anyway, I just think he wants to try this out. And I think what WWE allows him to do is just appear a few times at key moments.
Like Ronda.
Yes. I don't know that he's going to be part of the traveling circus. You know, where they, you know, where you hear these guys say, 200 days on the road, 250 days on the road. You don't know what it's like, blah, blah, blah. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. He seems to be pretty close. So that's something that MMA, you don't have to do that. You know, you fight 3 times a year, 2 times a year, but you're allowed to train and go home. And he seems to be really, really close to his kid. I think he has 2 kids now, and for sure his wife. So I would see him being more of a guy that maybe travels for a week or two, but comes home for an extended period of time. I think WWE will allow him to do that. And WWE, there's just an angle there with Brock Lesnar. I'm sure by now goes, Lesnar has mixed it up with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And I mean, they're probably just looking for a new storyline because he's been in the sport for so long.
But what is there past that for Cain Velasquez? I'll give him this. In seeing him wrestle, money. He's done a lot. Like, he's got a game. You know, he does a little bit of the high flyer, luchador type skill set. I thought he'd be more of an Andre the Giant type, just not really doing very many moves.
He's only like 6'1", though. He's not like like Baron Corbin.
I thought
like
he'd be
6'8".
Clunky, though, and he's not. So, past that, I don't know what they'd want to do with him. I mean, that's a great storyline with
Brock. Well,
remember,
he's not really that good on the mic. He wants the luchador mask, I heard, and the WWE is against that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then again, he's not going to be really, really too good on the mic other than just if he keeps it short and sweet, you know, I'm an MMA guy or whatever, and that's as real as it gets or whatever. He's not going to have really much to offer in that department. He's not even aesthetically, like, he's got that controversial brown pride tattoo, but he's not really one of them yoked up characters, you know. Or,
right.
I don't know. I think he's going to be a spot guy. But one thing I heard about Cain Velasquez back in the day is he never turns down an opportunity to provide for his family. And here's what I mean by that. Do you remember back in the day? I think it was Old Milwaukee. That's the beer. Sorry. Milwaukee Tools. Right? That's a company? Milwaukee Tools, I think is what they're called. They are. I think he was with them. And if they said, hey, man, we want you at Home Depot in San Diego. We're opening – or we're not opening the Home Depot, but we're basically debuting. We just want you there. He would do a lot of that. You know, if there was meet and greets or viewing parties, he would do a lot of that because there's a lot of fighters that will say, $5,000, eh. You know, I don't know, whatever they pay him. $3,000, $5,000, eh. You know, no. Call me when it's 10. Call me when it's 20. I don't get off the couch for 20. He would be like – I think he was more like, $3,000, that'll pay my mortgage for the month. I'm there. I fly on a plane. They pay. They put me up in a hotel. I'm back the next day. Money's money. Like, that's what I heard about him is that, you know, he was really, really good with that. And he had, you know, he didn't have a big head.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of this has to do with money. All right. Now, the trickle effect. Poirier's not feeling. We're jumping around here. Poirier's not feeling Dan Hooker's call out. He says, I'm fighting the Irishman. Of course, Hooker laughed at that when he heard that.
That was a funny reaction.
It was, yeah. He's like, stop chasing leprechauns or whatever. But I thought Poirier let him off pretty easy. Is there, you think there's something to that? You think Poirier, McGregor's a lot closer than we think?
I don't think so. No, that fight to me, no.
Do you think a fighter looks silly every time they say, I want McGregor, but then it doesn't happen?
No.
Because there's been a long list of fighters that have said, hey, I'm here if he wants it, you know, and then he just sits there and has a good laugh. And
I think that's why it doesn't look silly, just because there's such a big pool of them at this point that it doesn't really matter. Like, everybody at some point, I think, has asked for that fight.
I kind of get a kick out of the ones that actually turn them down.
Yeah, like Nate, I think that's a good move.
Like Nate, you know, it's like, I want Masvidal, you know, and like,
I think the UFC likes it too.
The trilogy doesn't, you know, you don't want to dance with the Irishman for the trilogy. No, I want Masvidal. I was like, oh, okay, man, that cracks me up a little bit. Respect, you know, for those.
They're guys. 1-1, but don't forget, one guy finished the other. So it's a little different type of 1-1.
Speaking of McGregor again, he didn't even fight, and we've already mentioned him like 3-4 times. You know, they had the one-year anniversary recently of UFC 229. Biggest fight in UFC history in terms of not attendance, but the gate. 2.4 million pay-per-views. Wait. Hold back on the gate. For sure, pay-per-views. I'm not sure about the gate because I think there was an $18 million gate somewhere. I can't remember. It may have been this one. Anyway, but yeah, Khabib always lets him have it, you know, and it was a quick reminder. Did you see that reminder he had on social media?
No, but he always has a good one on
Instagram. Yeah, a good reminder, you know, what'd and basically say? Basically get in line, you know. It was the main thing that I took from it was honoring the one-year anniversary, but you still need to go out and win if you want some more of this. But he did not forget the anniversary of that day.
Yeah, that's something that's going to haunt him for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. How about this one? Tyron Woodley, he gave his list, his hit list, he called it, of who he would like to fight. And basically he said Usman, I think it was Usman, Colby, Adesanya, and Khabib. And I think he said in that order.
Made zero sense to me.
I know.
Zero sense.
And, dude, I love Tyron Woodley. I think he's done a lot for the sport. He had 4 title defenses. Again, respect. And he was a Strikeforce champ, if I'm not mistaken. But one of the first comments I saw on his post, which I believe was on Instagram, just basically summed it all up. And it was like, congrats to the guy that never gets anything he requests or something like that. Like, and it's so true. Like, Tyron's kind of like his wish list has been like GSP and certain fights here, certain fights there, or I don't want this guy to, and it always goes wrong for him. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. It just always goes wrong for him. And so when you see these lists, you're like, man, you don't need to do that. Like, you're a former world champ with 4 title defenses. Like, you're the man, you know? And if you can get Usman back one day, great. Right now it's Usman and Colby. We realize that. But you are going to have to fight someone else at some point. Or I guess I don't know that he's got the flexibility to just sit out and wait for the winner. Because, again, him and the UFC have butted heads from time to time. And between now and then, if Masvidal beats Diaz and looks great, they may throw him in there. You know, I don't know.
That list, even if you rearrange the order a little bit and put a little bit more information, like Khabib, but at 165 or something like that, even then it still doesn't really make much sense. Like, but we're here talking about them, so maybe that's just the point of the whole thing.
Yeah, I suppose. It just, boy, people can be ruthless on social media, that's for sure. All right, we'll end with that. Of course, we'll be back on Thursday with another edition of MMA Junkie Radio. Hope you guys enjoyed our recap of UFC 243. And, of course, don't forget on MMA Junkie, there's many angles there for that fight card. The winners and losers are two of my favorite articles. They're usually done by Mike Bond. I know they're already up. Where he kind of goes a little bit more in-depth with why and who and, you know, who these guys and gals should fight next, both on the losing side and on the winning side. And, of course, shout-out to John Morgan and Ken Hathaway, who I believe are still trekking back from Melbourne. I saw them post something like 12 hours ago, and it's like a 16-hour flight. So safe travels to them. And again, you can follow us on Twitter, at The Goes, at MMA Junkie George, and at MMA Junkie Radio. It's the same on Instagram and Twitter. All right, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.